Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Life, Love, Marriage, Divorce, the podcast. I'm your host, Monique Davis-Dotson, and I have a very special guest with me today by the name of Tina Todd Jones. Tina is a mother. She is a wonderful person, and I'm going to be biased because she happens to be my very best friend. And I wanted her to share her life, love, marriage, divorce journey with us today. Welcome to the mic, Tina.
Thank you, Miss Monique.
Look, this is going to be an interesting one. Hopefully we can stay on topic because, you know, we can veer off. But, hey,
we're going to have... I can
because I do talk a lot. Yeah, and my brain just goes and goes anyway. Yeah. But anyways, we're going to have a little girl talk here today on the show. And give me a little bit of your history, which I already know, but I want you to inform my listeners about where are you from.
I'm from Santa Monica, California. I went to Santa Monica High School with all the other stars, Holly Robinson Peach, Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez, Yvette Lee, to name a few.
Oh my gosh, I can only imagine how the halls were in your high school. Was it crazy?
Well, you know, it was crazy, but you know, my high school, believe it or not, it was only like, I don't know, 2% black.
Oh, really?
You name all those people, but it was only like 2% black.
Wow.
But you know, everybody got along. Everyone was, you know, everyone had their own little bit cliques, but you know, everyone.
So what clique were you in?
I was in a clique with everybody, to tell you the truth. I got along with everyone.
Yeah.
Because it didn't help. Remember, I had brothers. I had two brothers that was there before me, so I was always protected.
Yeah, and then one of your brothers, he's an actor.
Yeah, one of my brothers an actor / stunt guy.
Okay.
So, you know, he's a part of that group too.
So he was a part of the Hollywood life.
He was.
So
His best friend is Charlie Sheen.
Wow.
And they have been best friends probably 35 years now or so.
Oh my gosh. So you know Charlie well.
I know Charlie. I know them all. Yeah,
she could tell stories, but we're not doing that.
No. Mm-mm. Yep.
Oh my gosh. So your brother, he was in Black Panther.
He was the stunt. He did mostly all the stunts in Black Panther.
Wow.
So it was really cool.
That was pretty cool. Yeah, to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Historic movie.
I know, right?
You know what I'm saying?
It's really, really cool. So he's doing his thing, you know.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's
good. You got to be proud of him.
And then you have other siblings as well.
I do. Yeah. I do. I have them. I have brothers from, my dad has kids, so, but it's just really the three of us that grew up with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the baby.
How is it being the baby of boys? Because it's really all, even on your dad's side, right?
Yeah, there's one sister in my dad's, but she's so much older than them.
But you're the baby.
I'm the baby out of all of them.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's cool. But if, you know what? I feel like I'm the oldest. I'm the baby, but I'm the oldest.
But you're the oldest.
I am.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Because just... we can't really say
Never mind.
Yeah, we don't want to get into that one. I'm the oldest. How about that?
Some people are like, girl, yeah, I know what you mean. I'm
the
youngest, but I'm the oldest too.
Yeah,
I'm the oldest and I'm the oldest.
You are the oldest and the oldest. You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
But
I think
your mom even said that too.
My mom,
in the conversation we had. Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, you know.
So tell me, how did you, okay, so you're from Santa Monica, grew up Santa Monica. I know that you were a flight attendant and, you know, just a busy woman.
Yep.
Tell me, how did you end up in Houston?
Well, I met my husband at the time in Santa Monica. He was in my cousin's wedding.
Okay.
And we were introduced by a friend of ours. And probably about five or so years later, we got married. And of course, I wanted to stay in California. He wanted to go to, I think it was Maryland or something. He wanted to go into the East Coast.
Oh, really? Okay.
So he was playing for the Houston Oilers, so our compromise was down the middle, Houston. So that's how
And we so ended that's up how you picked that Houston would be where you would live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because wow. I didn't want to go to East Coast and he didn't want to stay in California.
Are you serious?
We picked Houston.
Wow.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, that is crazy.
So we officially moved to Houston after he finished playing football.
Okay.
So in the meantime, we were in between California and Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Because he ended up playing for Green Bay. So, and then that's how I met.
And then who would know? That's our paths would cross.
And that was 22 years ago.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? And what's so crazy for the listeners with our paths crossing, because mm-hmm. both of our ex-husbands played for the Green Bay Packers. Tina and I, we did not know this at the time. We were both married on the same exact day, June
5th, 1993. Same year, same day.
Yeah.
And I think that you were probably married 2 hours before
me. Probably 2 hours before you. Mm-hmm. Then we would find that our ex or our husbands at the time, born on the same day, share the same birthday, December 19th.
Mm-hmm.
She and I share our birthdays in July. Mm-hmm. I'm July 5th. She's July 10th. And it was just like something that's so crazy that we felt like, oh, this was really meant to be.
Yeah.
That, and then, of course, as we will get into it, now we're both divorced. I guess God really knew that we needed one another.
Yeah, he knew.
Which is crazy. And that we would be best friends and sisters forever.
Yeah.
But
and I met Monique when she was pregnant with her
Amani.
Her second.
I was good and pregnant.
Oh my God.
And
you
that's how
about what, 7 months pregnant, right?
I had her in March. So I had to be.
I don't even know, but yeah. I know that. I was
pregnant, mm-hmm. and so what happened was in our meeting, Tina had club seats. They negotiated mm-hmm. in their contract,
mm-hmm.
and I would sit outside with all the fans, which I really prefer sitting outside.
And
with
I didn't
all the
prefer
fans.
That.
I like sitting outside. Because, you know, everybody get rowdy and, you
they
know,
get rowdy,
I'm loud.
But it's Green Bay and it's cold.
Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
We had to negotiate. We had to get better.
Yeah.
Later on, we went upstairs.
Yeah, exactly.
But later on, we figured it out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
With me being pregnant, Santana asked Sean, mm-hmm. hey, you know, my wife is pregnant. He knew he had these club seats. And I came and I sat up there with you and we kind of clicked. And it was, you know, we've been connected ever since.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, I was nice and pregnant. And then we were able to share Super Bowl together. So, and then from there, let's see. Both of our sons are a year apart.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I think Darren and Sine, they're November babies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then we have little ones.
And then our
India
little ones
and Yaya
mm-hmm.
are a year apart. So it's just like a crazy, you know.
Crazy.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy? So, yeah, this was destined to happen.
It was destined to happen.
But yeah. I wanted to just, you know, give everybody a little bit of why this person is my best friend. I mean, she has a huge heart. She's as real as they come. Everybody needs a real friend who will be honest with them and there for the long haul, the good, the not so good. And we connect that way. And so I encourage you that if you have that friend, you know, take a moment and just say thank you. So thank you, Tina Jones, for
You're
being
welcome.
My friend.
Thank
I really
you
appreciate
for being my friend.
Of course, sister. So
more sisters than friends.
We really are more
yeah.
sisters than friends.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful to have an older
sister.
Because
I really, truly think your mother is my mother.
She thinks that you are her daughter. Trust me. She loves you.
I love her. I love her even
and
more.
And you know I love your mom, too. That's my mom. So I wanted to talk to you about, you know, divorce and how were you able to, You've been divorced now for how many? Legally divorced for?
I've been legally divorced for about a year and a half now.
A year and a half.
November will be 2 years.
Really? Dang, it seems that? Longer than that.
2 years. It'll be... Wow.
A lot happened in that 2 years.
Yeah, a lot happened in 2 years.
A lot happened in 2 years. So I know that everybody has a different experience, you know, when you go through the process of divorce. Mm-hmm. How has your experience been?
Well, my experience has been, oh gosh, I think, and just being real, I don't think I would have done it without my best friend, Monique. There's no way I wouldn't have done it because, you know, when I was low, the lowest I can get, she brought me up every single day, every single time, every single talk, every single cry, every single.
Yeah.
So, and you brought the Lord into my life that I, you know, I just wasn't there with, you know, Christ, but you brought that. So you brought it to me. And I think that's how I got through it, to tell you the truth. You know,
well,
those
also,
long 5-hour talks.
Yes. They were long. They were long. But necessary. Because it's not easy. And it's hard. And when you're trying to figure it out on your own.
Yeah.
And going through it
before me.
Yeah, before you. And, you know, unfortunately and fortunately, with some of our friends that you and I both know, they have had to endure that process and or going through it right now. And I just knew that it had to be a way to survive it. You know what I'm saying? It just had to be. And I thank God for giving me, you know, the strength to do it. And I would never want to go through anything in vain. I don't like seeing people hurt and in pain. But I understand that sometimes it's necessary to get to where we need to be in our walk,
in our
life, you know?
Yeah. I think I just went through a lot. And I don't think I really realized how much I went through.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking back, just, God, you just got to be that super mama and put your big girl panties on and just keep going. Just keep going. I like I said, I went through a lot.
You did go through a lot.
Yeah.
Because you also went through health challenges.
Health challenges.
In that 2-year period.
Yeah.
With going through the divorce.
Yes.
Adjusting to moving, which I didn't have to do.
Yeah. Well, adjusting to moving
at that time
came after I was divorced, but going through the divorce, going through my health, just the year, that year that I got divorced, of course, remember we went through Hurricane Harvey.
We did.
And totally damaged my house.
Yeah.
I mean, my house with my daughter by herself and our house was totally damaged.
Yeah.
And then to find out that I had heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
And that I needed a surgery, a defibrillator inside me to keep me alive. But not one surgery. I had to go through two surgeries. Because all the leads inside of my defibrillator just somehow came apart. So I had to have another surgery.
Within 6 weeks?
No, 2 months.
2 months.
Yes.
Within that period.
Exactly.
Which was crazy in itself.
So we had Hurricane Harvey. Then a month later, I had a surgery. And then 2 months later, I had another surgery.
And then
a month after that is how I had my divorce.
And your divorce.
Yeah.
So a lot was going on.
A lot was going on.
But, you know, it's a testament that you're
testament.
Still sitting here. And that you are stronger than you thought you were.
I am much, much stronger. I didn't think I had it in me.
Oh, I knew you did.
I didn't. Like I said, you brought it out of me because I didn't. You know, there were some times,
where
I just totally gave up.
But I wouldn't let you.
Yeah, you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't let me. The good Lord wouldn't let me.
The Lord wouldn't let you. It's a reason.
It wasn't a good, you know, divorce. It was a
No, your divorce was a lot more challenging than mine.
Yes.
Why do you think? And let me say this: divorce is challenging in itself. But I think being who I am, I have a strength to just try to keep the peace. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And even when I don't want to be peaceful and, you know, in my flesh, right. I want to fight or say this or say that. And then understanding that I can always go outside of myself and say, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than your feelings. And get into alignment with what I know I'm supposed to do. And so that helped me, which I think helped my ex and us move forward to where we are today. You know what I'm saying? What is the challenge with you and your ex? Because a lot of people, they don't get along or, you know, with this process and it's still some conflict or some resistance. What do you feel is the cause?
I think if anyone knows me, they know that I am going to speak my mind and I'm not going to do what, you know, you want me to do just because it makes you happy. And I truly believe that if you are not on his page, you're on the wrong page. And me, I think that's why we're individual, because I have my own, you know, my mind. I just think that, you know, if I have my opinion, I'm going to, you know, tell you my opinion. And he didn't like that. He didn't like that it wasn't his way all the time. So I think it just made it a little bit difficult that, you know, it wasn't his way. So
So you feel like he wanted things to move at his pace in his way, and there was no room for compromise with you as being a strong individual?
There was no room for compromise for me and my kids. And when he wants certain things to happen with my kids and they don't want it to happen that way, then, you know, Mama Bear gets a little upset. And so I feel that I have to, you know, defend my kids or advocate for my kids, especially the younger one, that she's only 11 years old. And he just didn't like that. But he just didn't have any, you know, it was just all about him at that time. I don't know if it's that way now. But at that time, it was all about him and what he wanted and what he wanted the kids to do. And since it was so new to them, the divorce was so new to them, they had to process it in their own little time, and it wasn't fast enough for him.
Okay, so he just felt like, okay, this is what's going on with your mother and I, and they still had emotions and resistance to this new way of life.
This new way of life.
And he was having a hard time understanding why it was taking them so long to move at the pace that he felt like, okay, they should have dealt with it. And so that caused conflict.
The kids were having a hard time,
The kids were having a hard time. So that was causing more of the conflict and why you feel like, okay, this probably could have been a whole lot smoother than it was, but because of this, primarily, this issue that we're having, the defenses were up on both sides.
On both sides. And and the kids' side, too. They were up, too. So, you know, it was just, you know, he just had to see all the sides, and he wasn't looking at all the sides. He was just looking at his side and me, you know.
Yeah.
Being Tina.
Tina Jones.
Tina Jones. You know. But, no, I just tried to explain that it's going to take a little time.
Of course.
Are kids, you know.
Of course.
And he just couldn't see it. So that's probably why it wasn't as smooth.
How are your kids now as far as that time? Because it's been, You were separated.
We were separated for a few years.
A few years, and then divorce being
and then
final.
Divorce.
But it's a different thing when
totally
you
different when
you
it's final.
Final.
Yeah.
You know?
And not to mention, my oldest one is still, he still hasn't really gotten over the divorce.
You think it's harder for the older kids
I think it
than
is.
The younger
kids? Mm-hmm. I think it is, mm-hmm. you know. But he, I mean, I think we talked about a month ago or so,
mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if everyone knows that my ex-husband is getting remarried again,
mm-hmm.
and, that's coming up real soon, and my son has a problem with it,
yeah.
And
rightfully so.
It's rightfully so, it's rightfully yeah. so, and, but I don't think my ex-husband understands the problem that he has.
And so. That was the part mm-hmm. of the transition stage yep. with him wanting to move on with his life,
exactly.
which he actually, you know, he should.
Yeah. He, should. Exactly.
He has the right to do,
mm-hmm.
but trying to get the children on board with
yes.
the
And he just tried a little bit too fast and he came on a little bit too strong. And like I said, they're kids. They
mm-hmm.
needed to adjust to his new life
mm-hmm.
at their own pace. And it was just so hard for everybody involved.
Yeah. And I would say this, you know, as we talk about this, because there may be a listener who is in this situation and you experienced divorce and your ex has moved on
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be remarried or they're in a serious relationship or what have you. I think it's always how you do it.
It's how you do it.
And I think that... when a mother, or it could be a father, you know, on that side, sees their child having difficulty,
mm-hmm.
They're going to automatically want to protect them.
Exactly.
And I think that if a person is on that other side where they've moved on and they found that significant one, it's cool. Just make sure that you respect all the parties involved mm-hmm. so that everybody can transition to a place of acceptance.
Exactly.
It's a process. It takes time. And probably from his viewpoint, he was like, okay, I'm moved on with my life. Because a lot of times I think that in relationships, you know, I was married, 22 years?
Mm-hmm.
You were married 24 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we already know when the relationship has, you know, declined.
Right.
And you're in that acceptance. But then you present it to the world, meaning your family, friend, circle,
right.
your children. And so now they're adapting to something that you've already adapted to
exactly.
for years. And they have to play catch up. And so for him, probably in his mindset, it's like, okay, this has been over. Not realizing over for him, it's not over for someone else. But because he wants them to be a part of his life, as any parent would,
mm-hmm.
And accepting of whomever he's involved with,
mm-hmm.
he probably looked at it from that standpoint of, okay, it's mm-hmm. moving and I want you on this train.
Mm-hmm.
But that's great and wonderful intent,
sure.
but you still have to be very cautious and respectful with that intention.
You do. And I don't think at the time he was thinking about just being respectful to me.
Yeah.
And the kids would see that.
Yeah.
And when they would see that, you know, or them trying to talk to their dad about being respectful.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't, he just would just not pay attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
He would just, you know, it would go over his head. And because in his mind, he thought that he was doing everything right.
Right.
When he wasn't doing everything right.
Right. And maybe right for him, you know, we all have different definitions. And like you said, he felt
mm-hmm.
this was right to allow my kids to be a part of
mm-hmm.
my life with whomever. It was just the timing and how
timing.
It's done.
Exactly.
The intention was there,
right.
you know.
And they should be a
and
part,
it should
of,
be a
his
part
life
of his life
and his new family's
exactly.
life. And
exactly.
It should. It should be that way.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said, it was the timing. The timing was totally
and how
off.
You do
and
it.
He was trying to rush and rush and rush. And they weren't ready.
They weren't ready.
And they're still not ready, yeah. But they're getting there.
Yeah.
They're getting there.
And that's good. So I just want, you know, this is good stuff for someone who's going through this and you have a significant other post-divorce. And just to be mindful of your children, because this is the thing. Your kids want the very best for you, just like you want the best for them. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I've learned is that, you know, as family, you're going to be family forever. You cannot see that ex, they're going to be at a game, it's going to be a holiday, it's going to be a birthday, it's going to be some grandkids, you got graduations. And to put them in a place where they're uncomfortable is unfair, you know, and I don't think it's fair. And I've been through it all, you know. But I will say that my ex has been respectful. And I think, and I'm speaking for him, and I guess, you know, I can get a quote if I need to, right? But I will say that he has been respectful in what he has done in our transition. And I think I've done the same.
Yeah.
Is that we put the family first. And because we started out together, the romance, it ended, okay. But we needed to figure out a way to coexist.
Exactly.
And I just did a piece on my blog about rules to divorce. So you guys can go to the website and read that if you're going through some stuff. But I will give him this credit. Mm-hmm. He has not allowed anyone, I don't know who he date or who he with,
right.
Okay? But he has, I guess if it's not a serious person in his life, mm-hmm. he has not introduced anyone to my children. He wouldn't have done it while we were together.
Right.
Or post-divorce. Mm-hmm. I think he just respects them enough to know that our relationship is more important as a family mm-hmm. than making my kids rush or like somebody just for the sake of it.
Right.
And I give him kudos for that. And this is the other thing.
Oh, and also what I love about your relationship is that you guys put everything aside. Like you said, family comes first. You spend every single holiday together, mm-hmm. birthdays, sporting events. You guys even drive, get in a car and drive six hours.
That first year, we could not. I will say there was an adjustment stage, but, I will say.
Hey.
But we were cordial, mm-hmm. but I don't think we were ready to get in the car with one another because there were some events.
That's the first year, though.
Yeah, that first year, you know.
Yeah.
But we were cordial. Yeah. I don't think we were even sitting by one another at the games yet.
No, you weren't. But hey, like I said, that was the first year.
I will say it didn't last long. It might have been less than a year.
It might have been.
I think it was less than a year.
Because what's so funny now is that if your friends didn't know you, or anyone that didn't know you would truly think that you guys were still married.
Yeah. They do.
That's
and
crazy.
I let them know we are not. I was at India's volleyball game the other day. And I'm like, well, you're divorced. I didn't know you were divorced. Yes, girl, yes. But and not in a bad way. It's just that I don't want it to be where if he's out or if I'm out, you know, and he is with someone, they're like, he's cheating on his wife. No, she is not his wife. She is his. She is the mother of his children. So,
no, but I've always told you how I, you know, admire the relationship that you guys have together.
And I do. I do enjoy where we are now. Mm-hmm. I like our relationship. Mm-hmm. We laugh, you know.
Yeah.
We have a good time together, and I respect him for that. And I think for him, we both respect one another based on our history together.
Right.
You know, my family loves him.
Exactly.
They love him. And I get along with his family, you know, very well. And so, and that's important because you have these children that you share.
Yes.
And you're going to be with other people.
Yes.
And they should eventually be allowed to be a part of that family. But I also believe that there still should be that family structure unit where it's just going to be y'all sometimes. And it should.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And I think that, you know, there's a fine balance and a fine line. But if you have a partner, and this is important too, you know, as we talk about your ex mm-hmm. moving on, or, you know, my ex or us or whatever it be. Whoever is blessed to be a part of that journey with you mm-hmm. post-divorce right. should understand and respect that family unit
right.
and encourage and promote that. You know what I'm saying? That's really important that, you know, there should be no competition. There should always be some form of, hey, you need to be able to support the family and be there for your children based upon the history that you have with this mother. Now, I know that that's easier said than done for a lot of people, and you probably wish or hope, but I'm just telling you, where there is a will, there is a way. And, you know, a part of doing the podcast is to encourage you to invite people in your life who want to see that. Mm-hmm. They want to see, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Not compete or be intimidated by something, but encourage they should be a family.
I agree.
You know?
I totally agree. I don't know if my ex-husband's new wife, we will ever get to that situation just because of the situation in the past. Mm-hmm. But I do encourage my kids to, you know, hey, when you go to your dad's house, you make sure you are respectful.
Right.
You know, make
right.
sure you speak and,
right.
and, you know, make sure you help out and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So, like I said, I don't know if I'm going to get to that point with her, but the point with my ex-husband, who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, at this point, we're not there yet.
It's a process.
Like
it's
2 years or so. Yeah, we're not there yet. It's I don't know process. If we ever get there.
You will.
But, you know, he's a good dad.
Mm-hmm.
I can never knock that from him.
That
he's a good
true.
Dad. He's a good dad. And he loves his kids.
He does.
And whoever is in his life has to accept that.
Yeah.
Because whoever's in my life, hey, they're going to have to accept that
first. Oh, it's like, yeah, that's you know? Not even.
Right.
We don't even.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a Christian.
Yep.
And you need to know the
exactly.
relationship that I have with my children.
Exactly.
Because if I invite you into my life,
mm-hmm.
you get to meet the four most important people
exactly.
in my life. And I don't take that lightly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if it gets to the point where we have this relationship where I can now invite you over to Christmas and
yeah.
Easter
yeah.
and all the good holidays,
yeah.
whoever's in my life, they're definitely going to have to accept that.
Exactly.
Because that's going to come first.
Exactly.
And I tried to have that conversation with my ex-husband,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, you know, like I said,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, yeah. then, you know.
And you know what I was going to say? I was blessed because my mother and my dad, they
mm-hmm.
weren't married. They were in high school or what
mm-hmm.
have you. But they've always had a great relationship.
Yeah.
Like my
yeah.
bonus mom, Ferdita,
yeah.
welcomed me in.
Yeah.
You know, I have my sisters.
Right.
And so we, even like my mom was telling me the other day, she said, oh, I think Charles and I, my bonus dad, we're going to go to Atlanta and we'll probably call Harvey and Ferdita. So it's like, you know, they are just
right.
a good fit. So it makes
right.
the whole family feel
right.
good. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Because even when I'm out with your dad and his wife and your mom and her husband,
mm-hmm.
you would never,
no.
never
no.
know that, you know, they're not family.
Yeah.
Because
everybody's
along, family.
But she's
mm-hmm.
always been that way
mm-hmm.
With whomever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that I was able to witness Santana's, my ex,
mm-hmm.
his father and mother were divorced.
Yeah.
But he would come to the family
mm-hmm.
events as well and bring his
right.
significant other, his wife, Martha.
Right.
Mama was got rest her soul. She was alive. She had remarried.
Right.
And
right.
we would all be one happy family.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, and I think that's important.
So
yeah, it was. That's important. I was able to witness that. And I always knew that I never wanted my kids to
right.
to feel uncomfortable. They were already going to have to go through some things with the parents being divorced. And we got through that.
Right.
But it helps when you can actually get along with
yeah,
the parent.
You're right. I
yeah.
think that. In my case, there's been so much damage
mm-hmm.
that has happened between my ex and my family
mm-hmm.
that I don't know if we can ever get to that point.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, my parents are more forgiving than than any other parents I know.
Your parents are.
Yeah, they're forgiving.
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing, but it took a lot for them to feel the way that they feel.
Yeah.
You know, because the relationship that my mom had with my ex was, it was perfect. They had a great relationship.
Really did,
and you know you had to do some kind of damage for it to go
left.
Real fast.
Yeah, it did.
So hopefully, we'll see.
Hopefully.
It's only been, you know, 2 years or so.
Yeah, and hey,
so we'll see.
Time is the greatest
healer. I'm telling you.
You're right. Yeah, I was just thinking about what you were saying in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing that I believe, why your parents are forgiving. Same thing with my mother. They know the history, you know. They know what happened.
Yeah.
But they never got involved where it was uncomfortable or said negative things about you. They love him. Were able to separate. They had a relationship that didn't work, but he's still been a part of our family.
Right.
And he is the father to my grandchildren.
Exactly.
They were able to look at that and stay out of everything else. Yes.
Exactly.
That takes a lot. So
a lot.
If there are some relatives listening and your loved ones are going through a divorce, and again, I'm going to say this again because I did the rules to divorce, and this is a part of one of my rules, is that you have to stay out of that process.
Mm-hmm.
You have to limit your opinions, because what I do know is that family and friends will hold grudges longer than the two people involved, because
right.
they know they have to get along for the sake of their children. And let's say if you don't have children, just for the sake of your overall well-being, because eventually you're going to see that person and you should be able to say, hey, how you doing? This person was a part of your life,
mm-hmm.
and you're moving on, and you're not upset and mad anymore.
Or let's share the part where your attorney told you.
That's in the blog too.
That's in the blog too.
Okay.
Read the blog.
But my attorney, you know, I talk about this as well. My attorney, I went to several attorneys, because I needed to be educated about the process.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I'm going to stick it to them. I'm not built that way. That's just not who I am.
Right.
But we couldn't communicate in the marriage. It was going to make it a whole lot more difficult to communicate going through the divorce. And I didn't know all of the, you know, I need to be educated. So as I sought counsel, the first thing they would say to me is, does he have a pension? And it's going to be, you know, a 5-figure retainer. And I'm like, okay, this don't feel good.
Nope.
This didn't feel good to me. And so I left. And I was actually referred to an attorney. And on our first meeting, the consultation, she says, okay, well, you guys need to be amicable, because when you have children and you're going to always be together, no matter what. And so a part of our job is to help you navigate through this process, but we're going to be gone after this.
Yeah.
And you two will still be together.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure that this process runs as smoothly as possible. In addition to that, they gave me a devotional book called Jesus Calling. And she told me the whole office reads this book, and it's a devotional book. And she gave me that book on that first meeting.
Wow.
Yep. And I was like, this is where I need to
book?
Be. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. I still have it. It's a devotional. Kind of like my book, Blessings in Love.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that.
Right.
And I was like, this is where I need to be.
Exactly.
Because, yes, do I have to pay them a retainer? Yes. But that wasn't the first thing that they asked me. They were a whole lot more reasonable than these other people.
Exactly.
And the other people didn't care. And you know, when you're walking into that scenario, when it's about money, for some people, they're going to drag it along, or they're not going to be for your overall well-being post-divorce.
Right.
And what was important to me was post-divorce and to have some representation who was being honest about but trying to be fair at the same time.
Exactly.
Nobody's going to get everything in a divorce.
Right.
Let's just be honest. But you can try to negotiate fairly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, respect that what you have with that person to know that you should be fair.
Right. Exactly.
And then doesn't have to drag on.
Yeah.
Because the longer it drags on, you're giving your kids money to the attorney.
You're right.
At the end of the day.
You're right. Just like she says, you know, when this is over, you're going to have to deal with your ex-husband.
Yeah. And you'd rather do it where, you know, you're not in a setting where the tension is felt between the individuals.
Everyone gets the kids.
Oh my gosh.
You just see their faces.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, here they go again.
Here they go.
Oh, what should I do? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And I just, it's not worth it. And move outside of the children, that's not who we are meant to be, you know, as individuals. We're not supposed to walk around here with carrying all this weight of anger and bitterness and rage and, you know.
Yeah.
Why do that? It's just not worth it. So if you guys can take anything from, you know, just that little good girl talk that we just gave you guys, try to use it. Divorce is not easy, but it sure doesn't have to be hard.
Yeah. It really isn't that
hard. It really isn't that hard because you get to a place in your life where you know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You just come into acceptance of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, my biggest thing is, you know, I told you, my biggest thing, if I know that I'm right and he's wrong, or if I feel that I'm right and I feel that he's wrong, what's my biggest thing? Okay.
Yeah.
I just agreed to disagree.
Well, sometimes you need to learn that it's not about being right.
I can't fight all the time.
Yeah.
That is gone. I can't fight. Yeah. So if you want to fight, you're going to do it by yourself.
Exactly.
I can't do it anymore.
Exactly.
But
I will say, you guys, you're better than you were.
Yeah. We're not saying much better, but yes, we are
it's
better.
A process.
Now we can, you know, see each other at sporting events and say hi to each other, you know.
See people is hope.
Yeah. Or laugh. Like last week we were at my daughter's volleyball game and he had said something or I said something. Somebody said something. We were laughing together. So and he even bought me a shirt.
Oh, see? I told you there is hope.
Ah, he bought me a shirt. I was surprised. Yeah. But, you know, so it's getting a little better.
It's getting better. And one thing that you guys had that I always loved. You guys are really good friends.
We had a great friendship. Yeah. We were friends before anything.
So I pray
that you do. You do miss that friendship at times. Yeah. You do. Because we laughed and acted crazy over, you know, just crazy, stupid stuff. So you do miss it at times.
Yeah.
So you're right about that.
But to be able to say you got a shirt.
And I got a shirt.
To laugh,
a sweatshirt at
that.
We're moving
in the right direction.
A sweatshirt at that.
So
hopefully it'll get there.
It will.
We will get there, hopefully.
Get there.
If not, then, you know, that's just how it is. I'm good.
So I was going to ask you, as we wrap up, do you still believe in love? So what do you think? Do you believe in love? And would you ever, you know, consider getting married again?
I do believe in love.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I don't know about getting married.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm, if I will ever get to, I don't know.
Ooh-wee.
But having a companion, that's nice. You know, having a companion and, you know, going out and dinner and movies and just, you know, coming home to someone. That's nice. But getting married, I don't know about that.
You don't know yet.
I don't know yet.
Yeah.
I don't know. But what I do know is that I am happy. I have discovered me.
Amen.
And being in that, my marriage, I think I just totally lost him.
Let me ask you this. What have you learned about Tina throughout your journey? I mean, you're healthy.
I am healthy.
You're healthy.
I am.
You have survived a divorce.
I have survived. I'm healthy. I am strong. I am happy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. And I didn't believe before. And I didn't have faith before. And I have faith and I believe and I'm just so happy now. And I didn't think that I could ever get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm just doing a little Tina.
Yeah.
And it feels good.
It feels great. Mm-hmm. And it looks good.
It does look good. Sometimes it looks good. Yeah, it looks good. I can go back on my pictures. Like, oh, I look halfway decent. But no, I'm happy. Thank you very much.
Well,
I think we're too happy. Too happy, girls.
I am so happy. And yeah. I'm at a place in my life where I have so much peace. And I look forward to what God has in store for me.
Yeah.
To be able to look backwards and say, thank you, Lord. I needed to even just go through those experiences to get to this place.
Auntie, and I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. If I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't know to just love me.
And be authentic.
Be authentic. I got so low where, I just felt, God, I can't go on. Not like can't go on, like I'm going to kill myself or anything like that. But just, is it going to get any better? Because at one point, I just didn't think it was going to get me until you told me, it's going to get better. I promise you it's going to get better. It's going to get better, but you do hit that low point. But like you said, once you come out of it,
once you come
have
to the
peace,
other side of,
oh Lord, you walk into my, like I bought a house and then you walk into the house and then you look outside and I do this just about every morning. I look outside, I open my blinds and I just thank them. Yeah. You have to thank them.
You do.
You have to thank them.
Yeah.
So been on a journey.
Been on a journey. And it's a continuation. One of the things that I always said to myself, and I truly believe this, in the Bible there's the book of Job. Mm-hmm. And he went through a whole lot of suffering. But due to his faith, God blessed him.
Yeah.
And he gave him more than he had.
Yeah.
And he blessed him so that his latter was more than his former. And I always say, Lord, just bless my latter. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always look at, of course, I'm, I watch T.D. Jakes every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he always says that I brought you out of the situation for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to know why.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm slowly beginning to know why.
Mm-hmm.
And you just thank them.
Every day.
You thank them.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I appreciate you. I love you so much.
I thank you
for sitting at the mic with me and sharing your story. And I'm believing that it was very encouraging to somebody who actually needed to hear it today. Thank you, Tina Todd
thank
Jones.
Thank you, Monique. Look, Monique Davis Dotson.
I know. Thank you for sitting at the mic with me once again, Tina. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your testimony, really, with others. Just to endure the challenges that she faced within the last 2 years. House being affected by Hurricane Harvey, heart failure, and then going through a divorce all at the same time. Is a lot, and many of you are probably facing challenges and wondering how are you going to overcome, how are you going to get through it. The beauty of Tina's testimony and the how she was able to do it was all stated when she said, I didn't really have faith, but I came to know the Lord, and that is how I was able to overcome. When we're going through something, we really need a strong foundation where we can put our trust and our hope in something greater than us, especially something greater than our understanding when we're going through those different trials and tribulations. I hope that you were encouraged by her story. I hope that you know that you can absolutely do all things with and through Christ. When you come to the other side, forgiveness, of peace, authenticity, that you will be better for it. One of the other things that I love that she stated was that I am so happy. All of us deserve to be happy. And sometimes it takes certain paths to get there. But when you get there, you never go back. Y'all have a beautifully blessed week. And I thank you for listening and look forward to you joining me next week. Until the next podcast, God bless.